started this morning. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's take our red books and turn to hymn number 132. 132. We'll stand and we'll sing the first, second, and last verses of 132. Burgess in the nursing home. Let's pray for that need. Somebody else? All right. Unspoken requests. The Lord knows all about those, doesn't he? And I'm glad he does. All right. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord today. We ask you to bless us. We ask you to speak to our hearts. We ask you to minister to our hearts today through the word of the Lord. We can do nothing, but you can do everything, and we're glad that that's true today. We come before you as the Bible teaches us to, as needy people, coming with our cups turned over and asking you to fill us up today. And when Mr. Cup gets some, we want Mr. Saucer to get some too. We want it to be overflowing in our lives. So I pray that you'll be with us. Bless the preacher today. Go with us. Help us. Minister to us through the precious Holy Spirit. Help us to come today with an attitude of worship as we come into your presence and come to your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll let you be seated and you pray for the choir.
Number 114, choir, your church hymn. Number 114, I've never been sorry.
Saving pardon, I've been singing every
138 choir. When God gives his love, my heart. Number 138.
Praising the Lord. And so we don't have that unless you have a copy of that book right there. You won't have it out there, but it's not hard. You can pick up the chorus with us. But let's sing a couple of verses, and then we'll let it get you to join in on the chorus. The chorus is real easy. And then we'll let the choir go down, fellowship, and then we'll come back and we'll sing, all of us will sing that last verse together. All right? So you...
Praising the Lord. I feel like praising the Lord.
sing the chorus, and once we do that, the choir will come down, we'll fellowship, and then we'll sing that last verse in the chorus as we finish up. Okay, so if you'll stand with me. All right, here we go, third verse.
When other seeds go home alone, I feel like praising the Lord. His flames need power, waves overflow, I feel like praising the Lord.
Here we go, ready?
Yes, I feel like praising the Lord. I feel like praising the Lord.
Down, let's take some time and fellowship one with another. A great statement. It says, "The Lord has been so good to me." Somebody tell us, how has God been good to you? Somebody raise your hand. Somebody, how's God been good to you today?
Life and breath.
That's a good thing. What else? What's another way God's been good to you today? The Lord has been so good to me.
Meets my needs.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you what. Didn't talk about my wants, did he? But he did tell me to take care of my needs. Who else? What else? Something else God's been good. Gets us up every morning. That's a good miracle to be able to wake up and just be alive, isn't it? All right, somebody else. I'm waiting for a good one. What's the best one? We can move on now. That was a good one. What'd you say, sister?
I'm above ground.
Above ground. All right, how about are you saved? You saved? Raise your hand. You saved? Ready to meet the Lord? Preacher's not sure. Better pray for him. Amen. All right. Okay. It says, "The Lord has been so good to me, I feel like praising the Lord until that blessed home I see. I feel like praising the Lord." Let's see that last verse. Okay. Ready? Here we go.
The Lord has been so good to me, I feel like praising the Lord.
I feel like praising the Lord, my heavenly Father.
got something to praise the Lord for, say amen right there.
Amen. Amen.
All right, amen. Thank you. We'll let you be seated. All right, let's be sure and pray for Miss Teresa as she sings for us this morning.
Oh, sacred Lamb, you knew my name, you knew my heart, you knew my frame, you knew what I could never know, you went where I could never go. Oh, sacred Lamb, thou sacred Lamb, you died alone, and you took my stand to make me clean and white as snow. To Calvary you had to go, and you became a sinful, humble man just to save my soul. Oh, sacred Lamb. Your side was pierced, your heart was torn, a crown of thorns your head adorned, and with those nails there in your hand, carried away sins of mortal man. One day you'll come and take us home, you'll come for those you've called your own, and with my eyes I'll finally see that sacred Lamb who lives in me. Oh, sacred Lamb, thou sacred Lamb, you died alone, and you took my stand to make me clean and white as snow. To Calvary you had to go, and you became a sinful, humble man just to save my soul. Oh, sacred Lamb, just to save my soul. Oh, sacred Lamb, just to save my soul. Oh, sacred Lamb.
All right, I made the announcement on Wednesday night that we would be having a guest preacher here today. This is Brother Jim, Miss June Patterson, and they're from Roanoke. We've known them for many years. Brother Jim and I, we probably don't claim this too often, but we graduated together from college. And that was back many moons ago. And we graduated from Trinity Baptist College down in Jacksonville, met each other there, and just had a good friendship through the years. And God has used this dear couple in great ways. The Lord has used them to start not one, not two, but three independent Baptist churches. And Brother Jim and Miss June are soul winners. They knock on doors, and they're just good people. They go for the down and out. And Brother Jim told me one time, he said, "That's who I want to build my church on, the down and out." And I've gone and preached many times in his churches, and he'll say, "You see that brother over there? He was a drunk. He's lying in the gutter." He said, "I led him to Jesus." And so it's good to see people who have that kind of passion and ability to just deal with people like that. And I appreciate about these folks. And I did say this about them, that Brother Jim's a different kind of fellow. So I don't know what's going to happen this morning, but get your seatbelts on. Because it's going to be a roller coaster, maybe. I don't know. Depends on what kind of... Is he good? Is he in a good mood today? You don't know? He must be all right. Oh, okay. Well, all right. We'll see what happens. All right. But I appreciate him coming. They're on, taking a little vacation time. And so they were going to come worship with us today. And I asked Brother Jim to come and preach for us today. So I'm glad he felt like doing that. Because sometimes you're on vacation, you just want to rest and breathe a little. But he's here to preach for us. So, preacher, you come on up and you bless us from the word of the Lord. Now, we're going to put a microphone on you. You don't need it. But we have the internet radio. We want people in Germany to hear you, okay? So you come on up, and we'll hook you up here, okay?
Don't know much German?
No.
About German potato salad. Where do you want to put that in your pocket, maybe?
I don't care. It's fancy stuff here. Sick?
You're set.
I'm set.
Yeah. I would touch that other little 2-foot pole, wouldn't we?
God bless you, man. Good morning.
Good morning.
Fine looking group of people you have here, brother. I thank Brother Van for allowing me to come today. Like you said, I've known him for years. Good man. Faithful. You don't find much of that anymore. I'm here for one reason. That's to preach this, okay? I believe preaching is lacking in America. I hope everybody here today is saved. I don't know anybody here other than Van and his wife, Darlene. I don't know anybody's heart. But God knows. And for some reason, I have a feeling that maybe somebody here today that's never been born again, never been saved. I hope that's not the case. But if it is, you can be saved today. It's a foolish person to turn down the offer that Christ gives to us. He loves everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you're not saved this morning, you ought to give it a real deep thought today. And ask yourself a question. Suppose I was to die right this minute. Do I know for sure that I would go to heaven? Think about that. Because friend, we're not guaranteed 1 second in the future. Not 1 second. So you think about it. Does everybody have a Bible this morning? If you're turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I'm not used to all these gadgets here. I might end up throwing it at somebody, I don't know. No, I wouldn't do that. Not here, I wouldn't in my church, not here. I gotta be on good behavior here. Matthew chapter 16. Verse number 18. Jesus says here, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let us pray. Father, we come this morning in the precious name of Jesus. We come, Heavenly Father, to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Heavenly Father, we need help today. We know that without you we can do nothing. So we pray, Father, today for the Holy Spirit guidance, the Holy Spirit strength. We thank you, Father, today for your love and your goodness. We thank you, Heavenly Father, today for the blessed hope. And Father, forgive us this morning for so many times we fail you. Help us all, Father, to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help us, Father, today to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, to praise him, to honor him. And I pray, Lord, this morning, that there be one here without Christ, one that's lost, one that's on their way to hell. I pray today, Father, that you would save that one. Now have your way in the service. Give us a desire, Heavenly Father, to worship you this morning. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to build a church. And he did. And he says, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. The Lord has a church. And nothing is going to stop it. Nothing. God, if you study history, God has always had a remnant. And he always will. Till the rapture. Which is coming pretty soon. Amen? The Lord's coming. But the church today, I believe, not this church, the church as a whole, I believe is in pretty bad condition. I talk to a lot of people. I talk to a lot of preachers. And the churches across America are in terrible condition. Of course, the Bible tells us that. We're living in the last days. I go by churches that used to have a full house, overflowing crowd. Today, they just have enough people to barely get by. What's happened? What's happened? Today, I believe in churches, what you find is compromise instead of conviction. Compromise instead of conviction. I believe the King James Version is the Word of God. Today, it's rare. People we graduated with, brother. God only wrote one book. And it wasn't the NIV. And it wasn't the New King James Version. It was the King James Version. Compromise instead of conviction. That's what we find today in the churches. Compromise with the world. Churches have become worldly, and the world has become churchy. The world. It's our enemy. It's an enemy of God. The world will destroy you. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We see the church is compromised with the world. It's compromised with sin. Sin. Every day you pick up the paper, you get on the internet, and you see where some pastor or some deacon or somebody else has molested a child. It's not only in the Catholic Church. It's in Baptist churches. Compromise with God's word. Compromise instead of conviction. We find there's complacency instead of expectation. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the Lord's return. The Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Let's go right now. I have nothing to hold me here. Nothing. But there's complacency instead of expectation. Most Christians today live like the Lord's never going to come back. We're living in a day of easy believism. All you got to do is just come forward at the invitation and say this little prayer, and then you're going to be okay. Really? Yeah, just come and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. I never could find that in the Bible anyplace. Complacency instead of expectation. I expect the Lord to come at any moment. Any moment. He could come before we leave here today. Wouldn't that be nice? But as a whole, the church is not looking for that. They're too tied to the world. Most people don't even believe in the rapture anymore. Then we find there's confusion instead of contentment. Confusion. God's people ought to be content. He's not the author of confusion, is he? We have some that say you're saved by works. Saved by works. Oh, they teach it. They preach it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Works never saved anybody. But I believe if you have a salvation that will take you to heaven, you're going to have a salvation that will produce works in your life. Baptism is necessary for salvation. People teach that. Water gets you wet. It's the blood that cleanses from sin. But people teach it. People believe it. We find today the ordination of homosexual. Well, I call them queers. I don't know what you call them here. I'll try to be nice and call them homosexuals here because this is not my church. Some people teach if you're really saved, you'll speak in tongues. Really? I'm saved. I never spoke in tongues. Did you? People deny the rapture. Unitarians teach and preach that everybody's going to be saved in the end. Well, wouldn't that be nice? Just live like you want to do. Be what you want to be, because in the end, everybody's going to go to heaven. Some deny the reality of hell, but hell is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Hell is a place where the worm dieth not, a place of fire, a place of flames, a place where there is no mercy, no grace, no hope, and there's no escape. It's real. Some people say, well, God is God of love, he'd never send anybody to hell. True, that's true. God never sends anybody to hell. People choose to go to hell. It's a choice. If you're here today, you can go to heaven. That's your choice. Or God is a God of love. He'll let you do what you want to do. You have a free will. If you really want to go to hell, God loves you enough to let you go there. He don't want you to, but he'll let you. Yeah, the church is in bad shape today. It's amazing. Every church is the same. No matter whether you got 10 people or 200, they're all the same. We got a small church. We may get 55, 60 people on Sunday morning. Small. Then come Sunday night, you may have, if the Holy Spirit really working, you may have 30 people. But then comes Wednesday night, you may have 15 or 20 people. Then on visitation, you're lucky to get 6 people. Is that sad or what? That people can only give the Lord 1 hour a week? 1 hour a week. Every church is like that. Sunday morning Christians. What should we do? What can we do? Our country's in trouble. America's going down the wrong road, folks. God don't intervene, we're in for a rough road. Rough road. I blame it on the church. We're in the condition we are in because of the church. We have sat back and allowed the devil to set our standards. We're afraid to speak out. It's been going on for years. We need to speak out. Speak out against abortion. It's murder. We need to speak out against gay marriage. It's against God's word and it's pushed upon us. What can we do? What can you do as an individual? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to share with you what I believe we can do as God's people as we wait for Christ to come again. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching. What day is that? It's the coming of Christ. What's the Bible saying? What it's actually saying is we need to be actively involved in a local church. Like I say, I don't know any one of you people. Don't know a thing about you. Don't want to know nothing about you. I don't like to know things about people. Be actively involved in a local church. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means in the Greek. It means to be actively involved in the local church. I don't know about you, but I believe that the church is more important to me than I am to the church. For the life of me, I don't understand how people can come to church at 11 to 12 on Sunday and feel like they're doing God a great big service. I guess I must be old-fashioned. I believe people ought to be in church every time the doors are open. I believe they ought to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visitation, and revivals. Every time the doors are open, God's people ought to be there. Don't get too excited now. You're scaring me. So that's something we can do as we wait for the Lord to come. We can get faithful. Amen. People are watching us. You claim to be a Christian? You don't go to church on Sunday night, Wednesday night? They must think, boy, God's not very important to them people. Something else we can do, turn to Titus. Chapter 2. We're talking about the Lord's return. What are we going to do till he comes again? We have a job to do. We have a responsibility as a Christian. Titus chapter 2. Notice verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, unless you're a hyper-Calvinist. Then you get rid of that. Verse number 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. There it is, the second coming. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So we need to be actively involved in a local church. We need to live a separated life. These people always sleep, I guess. They say amen for you. Sometimes. I make our people say amen. Live a separated life. Why do God's people want to live like the world? I don't know. Why? I don't want to be like the world, do you? Some of God's people, they dress like the world. They talk like the world. They're more comfortable with the world than they are God's people. Listen to the world's music. I used to like country music, but anymore, country music is nothing more than 1560 rock music. Music ought to glorify Christ. Separated life. I remember when I first got saved, you couldn't buy nothing on Sunday. Nothing was open. Sunday was a special day. Today, everything happens on Sunday. Football, baseball, basketball, races, anything that people want to do, it's on Sunday. Sunday. separated life. We need to be separated from the world. We need to be separated from false teachers. Ephesians 5:11 says, let's turn there. I don't know what it says. Yes, I do. I know what it says. And have no fellowship with the untruthful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. We're living in a different day today. No doubt about it. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the untruthful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. Yeah. I wish God's people understood that. The world will drag you down. I had an old drunk got saved in our church. That's what he was a drunk. Just like I was before I got saved, a drunk. He came to our church about 8 years. He was there for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visitation, every work day that we had, every revival we had, he never missed a service. For years. And he got to hang around with this woman that drank. And I talked with him. I pleaded with him. I prayed for him. The church prayed for him. He don't even go to church now. I had a call, I guess about a year, year and a half after he left our church. Had a call from the hospital. Middle of the night. He said, we have a fella here. I wonder if you could come and get him. He needs to have a ride home. In the middle of the night. I said, yeah, I'll come get him. What up? Old Phil was so drunk he couldn't even stand up. I finally got him in. I had a truck. I finally got him in the front seat of the truck. Got him down to his house. Tried to get him out. He couldn't even walk. He lived in an apartment house. You walk in the front door, it's like a little foyer there. Stairs going up here, stairs going up here, a couple apartments. His apartment was right straight ahead. When I picked him up, the hospital put everything he had in a bag. His door was locked. I said, Phil, you stand right here. I said, I got to go get a key to get in. We just went here from that door to the street. I went out and got his bag and found the keys. When I came back in, just as I walked in the door, I seen him just like this here. Bang! He run into the wall. Fell down to the floor. His head was all bleeding. I just picked him up by the shirt, just dragged him into his apartment, threw him in on the living room floor, locked the door and left. That's what happens when you have fellowship with the world. I've preached in a lot of prisons, a lot of rescue missions, and everybody you talk to there. You ask them, how in the world did you end up here? You know what they say? Well, I had a friend. Yep. Live a separated life. Something else we need to do as we wait for the Lord to return is faithfully preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You say, I ain't a preacher. Oh, yes, you are. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul says here, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall the judge and quick and the dead at his appearing. There it is again. And his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We need to faithfully preach the word. You say, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. If you're saved, hand out tracts. Call people up. Do whatever you can to get people in church. Get them saved. The time is short, people. We need a vision of hell. I bet everybody here has somebody in your family that's lost. Yep. What are you doing to save them? How are you living? People will look at us and say, man, them folks have something I want. I don't know what it is, but I want it. Faithfully preach the word. Who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing in his kingdom. I had one guy scared going visitation. He wasn't the outward sort of a person, you know. He says, I can't talk. I just tremble. I can't talk. So I made up a little sign for him. A little cardboard sign. And I wrote on the sign, I'm deaf and dumb, but Jesus loves you. And he hung it around his neck. And he just knock on doors and just stand there like a dummy. He did great. He did great. Where there's a will, there's a way, people. We need to have a right attitude for other people. Do we not? Thank you, June. A right heart attitude for other people. I don't like gossipers or busybodies or nosy people. I get rid of them in my church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We had some lady come to our church long ago, quite a while ago, 2 or 3 years, I guess, wasn't it? She's putting a hit on all the men in the church. I met her at the door. I said, hey, babe, I said, best you find another place to go. Yeah. Not worth it. I've been down that road. Have a right heart attitude toward other believers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end. Oh, yeah, the end. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. As we wait for the Lord to come back, we need to have a right attitude toward other people. People destroy churches just left and right. That's why it's best to get rid of them before they do it. I've noticed when somebody wants to leave the church, they go around to everybody. Try to get them on their side. They don't want to leave by themselves. They want to take somebody with them. That's the devil. That's the devil. That's all that is. I had a couple tithing too, boy. I had a, probably 5 years ago, husband and wife and a daughter. I mean, he was putting money in our church, buddy. But he's a troublemaker. And I flat out told him, I said, you need to find another church someplace. Well, he says, I don't know how you're going to make it without my money. I said, I'll tell you what, buddy, God's might got more money than you do. And we still there, trucking right along. See, you need to get rid of the problem before it destroys you. Right heart attitude toward other believers. And there's one other thing we can do as we wait. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, second coming, then shall you also appear with him in glory. We need to become a little bit heavenly minded instead of worldly minded. Set your affection on things above. So many of God's people are so tied to this world, it's pathetic. They put more effort into the world than they do into heavenly things, godly things. That's sad. You gotta wonder how important God is to some people. Jesus came and died and shed his blood on Calvary to pay for our sins. Shouldn't we become heavenly minded? In one ear and out the other. I got a man in my church, been there for years. Been there for years. He's a Mason. I said, Steve, I says, that thing is a cult. It's a cult. Which side of the fence are you on? You on their side or are you on Christ's side? He got mad and left. Now he's coming back. He said, you was right. You was right. But folks, the question is this morning. Listen to me. Wake up. Listen to me this morning. Are you saved? Can you honestly say that if you died sitting in that pew this morning that you'd go to heaven? If you can't say that, you're in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble. You ought to do something about it. You can do something about it this morning. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. He don't want anybody to go to hell. If you die without Christ, you will go to hell. No doubt about it. So you think about it. Think about it. If I died right now, would I go to heaven? Think about it. What's going to happen to you? You should know. You ought to do something about it if you're not saved. And I hope you will this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name for your goodness. Thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for these folks who made your way out. And I pray now, Lord, if there be one here this morning that's lost and without you, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would bring conviction. I pray today that that person might be born again. And I pray for every Christian. Father, help us all, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you. Help us to be faithful. Help us to serve you. And Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you might soon come again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Which one?
there's something that you need to do business with before the Lord, I hope you'll take care of it before the day is over. That's the way to do it. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. That's what the book of Hebrews says three different times. So keep those things in mind, please. All right, let's receive the Lord's tithes and offerings today. Ask the men to come. We praise the Lord. Brother Bill, what was the offering for the stew now? What have we got approximately?
Okay, with the lift, you still got the lift in the $370.
Something like that's fine. That's approximation. So we appreciate we shared with the church that we got a love gift from Mr. and Ms. Fannin, who were supposed to be here this morning and said they were coming, but something must have come up. And so they gave us an offer that's helped put us over in that amount. So we're ready, I think, pretty much to start making our purchases for the Brunswick stew on the 15th. So that's only 2 weeks away. So keep that in mind, please. All right. And remember service tonight, this evening, 5 o'clock. So be here if you're able. Lord bless you. And anything else we need to discuss. It's October, isn't it? What about that? I love October. My favorite month of the year. I love the beautiful leaves that change and just see the good handiwork of God. So I hope that you'll enjoy this beautiful weather that the Lord gives us. Brother Julius, you lead us in prayer.
Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for the message this morning, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to keep it in our hearts, Lord, and our minds this week. Go out, Lord, and witness to those that are lost, Lord, offended in us, Lord. Lord, pray that you'll remember every one of us here that have lost, Lord. We pray for the service today, Lord, for our service this evening. Pray for this offering, Lord. Pray that you'll use it for your honor and your glory. Let me thank you, Father, that you're in Christ's name.
Amen. Time. Thank you to Brother and Sister Patterson being here. Thank you for that great message, preacher. We need that challenge from the Word of God, and that's exactly what we got. We were challenged today to live for the Lord, so let's keep that in mind. You come by, speak to their hearts, encourage them as they'll be going back to Roanoke today. They're presently pastoring the Cornerstone Baptist Church, one of the churches that I said that they started. And how many years have you been there, preacher? 17 years. Faithful in his place. So thank God for that. So encourage his heart, be a blessing to them, and we'll see you this evening at 5 o'clock. God bless you.